There's an awful lot to learn in the hidden in this passage of Jesus, and it's very real. Jesus, fully God and fully human, we see him in very, very human circumstances. When we get beneath the surface, it's things we've all experienced, and it's comforting to know that Christ had a life like ours in some ways. Jesus has been surrounded by people, and he's been healing and teaching, and he's finally very exhausted, and on top of all that, he's just gotten news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has had his head cut off. And Jesus is thinking to himself, I'm next. You know, and so, like any of us, he needed some time to process what had happened to John. And so, remember, John was arrested. Jesus never visited John in prison, but he must have thought about him all the time. And so, Jesus doesn't know, he finds some way to get away from the crowds. You know, here he is along the lakefront. There's nowhere he can go without being observed. In fact, where he goes, he's observed. So he gets in a boat. The scripture doesn't say if the disciples came with him. It doesn't look like they did, but I can't picture him sailing the boat by himself. But maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he got in a boat and took off for the far shore. Now, in doing this, we see that the crowds saw what was going on, and they decide that they figure out where he's going. Notice he's going to a deserted place. So the crowds end up in this place that Jesus is aiming the boat for, and they actually get there ahead of Jesus. Now, what this tells us, if you look beneath the surface of the reading, is that Jesus really took his time on this boat, because if you've got a lake that goes like this, and Jesus is over in Capernaum, and he's going off toward the Gerasene Plain, which is across right across the sea, this is where he would often go, a pagan area, just nothing but farmers, so that he could be alone. And the Jews normally didn't go into that area because it wasn't Jewish. And yet, taking a straight shot in a boat, which is a lot faster than walking, and these people got there first. You know, Jesus really, he must have stopped midway to pray when he was could really be alone. And so, it reminds us that there's two kinds of aloneness. One is loneliness. The other is solitude. I know Thoreau said that he liked nothing more than being by himself because to him it was solitude. But if you can't stand it, it's loneliness. And so Jesus is seeking solitude. And we find ourselves, we have to stop and ask ourselves, can I find a place to be with God? No matter how busy Jesus is, he finds somehow he needs that connection with the Father. And he's setting an example for us. If you want your life to be in right order, leave some time for God. We're all in different places as to how we do this. But Jesus finds a way, a very unique way, to just get on a boat, get in the middle of the lake, and stop there. And so he goes on. The people are so desperate that they hoof it around the lake, and when he gets to this lonely place, he has this idea in his mind. Remember, he's fully God, but he's also fully human. He's looking for a little vacation, like we all are in August, you know. And he gets there, and here's this crowd that he left behind are waiting for him. Like, what do you think he's thinking? It's like, oh my gosh, there they are. It catches Jesus by surprise. So on one level, one can expect this, and yet on another, Jesus had plans, and yet this crowd shows up. So what does Jesus do? He interrupts his plans. This is an interesting phenomenon, because there's a dynamic tension in us between what we want to do and what God wants us to do, and what we plan for a day and what circumstances give us. And my day is filled with these kinds of contradictions as part of ministry. But Jesus has his plans interrupted by the will of God, and he goes and he embraces this. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, at some point, she decided that all of her sisters were going to pray for an hour before the Blessed Sacrament. And they really felt they didn't have time for that, but they made the time for that. And so every day they would have this hour that they would all pray together before they went out with their very intense life of ministry to the poor and the dying. And she was interviewed once and was asked what she would do, given the fact that she was the superior of the order and that she had put in her rules for the order that they were to have this uninterrupted hour of prayer and nothing was to disturb it. So what does she do when somebody who's dying comes to the door? So what mother said was, she said, well, I would get up and answer the door because I'm transferring the presence of Jesus from one kind, the Blessed Sacrament, to the other, which is the poor. Isn't that beautiful? So she sees Jesus just in a different location, but it's still Jesus. So we too have this need to respond to the will of God. So after we've prayed, God is going to ask something of us. God, circumstances of life are going to intervene in our plans, and sometimes this is going to be the will of God. And Jesus, too, has his plans regularly interrupted by people who want something from him, and he almost invariably will give them what they need. In fact, he gets so into what he's doing that it's getting later and later, and he's giving no indication he's going to stop. And they're in this very, very isolated place that people normally would not be congregating, but they came there just to see Jesus. And so it gets rather late in the day, you know, around 8 o'clock this time of night, at this time of year maybe, and it's still light out, and the disciples are getting worried. They said, you've got to get these people out of here so they can eat. They came a long distance, and they don't have a lot of food. So here Jesus uses this final opportunity in this gospel to teach the disciples something about trust. So here we have this movement from Jesus' grief, going into solitude, praying, being interrupted. The disciples get anxious at the end of this passage, and Jesus decides to teach them something about their anxiety. He says, well, you can feed them yourselves. Well, all they had was a few loaves of fish and a few loaves and some dried fish that people always carried around when they were traveling in that part of the world. So Jesus then, he does a miracle for them, but notice he doesn't do it himself. He requires the disciples to give all that they have, and then they have to trust him, and they have to do the work of passing it out. In the same way, God could save the whole world, but he's choosing to use us. He's not going to do it all himself. We have our dignity. We have a role to fill. I have a mission in life. God has something for me to do. I remember one other story I have is that many years ago, I was at this large charismatic convention. I was not a priest then, and they asked me to do something. I can't remember what it was now, but I thought I didn't have the skills to do this. I think it was to give some kind of a talk. I had stage fright. Anyway, it sounds funny now, but I didn't want to give this talk. So I was in there praying in the chapel there, and I was praying about this. The woman who gave 2 cents, you know, in the collection, and Jesus was very pleased with this. I opened my Bible and I was reading that, and something made me reach in my pocket, you know, and there in my pocket is 2 pennies. I should have brought 2 pennies with me here. And so the Lord is, like he said to me, he said, you know, I know that you don't have the whole dollar to spend here, but if you put that 2 cents in, I'll give you the 98 cents. So it's kind of a principle, is that God is willing to help us and do what we need, but he does expect us to put in the whole 2 cents. You know, so the disciples only have 7 loaves and 2 fish, but he expects them to give all of that. And then he, in turn, multiplies the loaves and fishes for them. So it ends in a miracle, but it also ends in an act of trust. So we see in Christ's life, in this great story of Jesus, our own lives too, that we too often are called to be with God, to sort out some problem that we have. Maybe it's a death in the family like it was with Christ, but some issue that we need to be alone with Christ and wrestle with something between the border between solitude and loneliness, that Christ goes out to deal with something, but he gets interrupted. And in that interruption, he finds the will of God. And in the midst of that interruption, the disciples get anxious, but then they learn that they have a role to fill also. They too are called to be part of this ministry that Christ has taken on, and that they, in giving all they have, receive a miracle that's far greater than anything they could have accomplished. And this is a metaphor for our lives as well, that our struggle and our pain leads to great action on God's part at the end if we only trust him as we go through our journey of life.